Omagyana Timurandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakanvitamscha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Takta Kanchena Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Prishubhana Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Trubhyascha Kripa Sinubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastati Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 6, Chapter 1, The History of the Life of Ajamil, Text Number 32. Uchu Nishedita Tan Te Vaivaspata Purasara Ke Yuyam Pratishet Dara Dharma Rajasya Shasanam Uchur Nishaditas Tamste Vaivasvata Purasara Ke yuyam prati shedaro Dharma rajasya shasanam Uchur nishaditas tamste Vaivasvata purasara Ke yuyam prati shedaro Dharma Rajasya Shastanam Uchur Nishaditas Tamste Vaivasvata Purasara Keyuyam Pratisedaro Dharma Rajasya Shastanam Ladies, Uchu replied, Nishedita, being forbidden, Tan, to the order carriers of Lord Vishnu, Te, they, Vaivasvata, of Yamaraj, Parasara, the assistants or messengers. K, who? Yuyam, all of you. Pratishedara, who are opposing. Dharma Rajasya, of the king of religious principles. Yamaraj. Shasanam, the ruling jurisdiction. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When the order carriers of Yamaraj, the son of the sun god, were thus forbidden, they replied, "Who are you, sirs, that you have the audacity to challenge the jurisdiction of Yamaraj?" Purport. According to the sinful activities of Ajamil, he was within the jurisdiction of Yamaraj, the supreme judge appointed to consider the sins of the living entities. When forbidden to touch Ajamil, the order carriers of Yamaraj were surprised because they had never been hindered in the execution of their duty by anyone within the three worlds. Text 33. Kasya va kuta ayata kasmirasya nishedata kim deva upadevaya yuyam kim siddhasatama. Translation. Dear sirs, whose servants are you? Where have you come from? And why are you forbidding us to touch the body of Ajamil? Are you demigods from the heavenly planets? Are you a sub-demigods? Or are you the best of devotees? Purport. The most significant word used in this verse is Siddha Satama, which means the best of the perfect. In Bhagavad Gita 7.3, it is said, Manushanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye. Out of millions of persons, one may try to become siddha, perfect, or in other words, self-realized. A self-realized person knows that he is not the body, but a spiritual soul, aham brahmasmi. At the present moment, practically everyone is unaware of this fact. But one who understands this has attained perfection and is therefore called siddha. When one understands that the soul is part and parcel of the Supreme Soul, and one thus engages in the devotional service of the Supreme Soul, one becomes Siddha Satama. One is then eligible to live in the Vaikuntha planets or Krishna Loka. The word Siddha Satama, therefore, refers to a liberated, pure devotee. Since the Yamadutas are servants of Yamaraj, who is also one of the Siddha Satamas, they knew that a Siddha Satama is above the demigods or sub-demigods, and indeed above all the living entities within this mature world. The Yamadutas therefore inquired why the Vishnu Dutas were present where a sinful man was going to die. It should also be noted that Ajamil was not yet dead, for the Yamadutas were trying to snatch the soul from his heart. They could not take the soul, however, and therefore Ajamil was not yet dead. This will be revealed in later verses. Ajamil was simply in an unconscious state when the argument was in progress between the Yamadutas and the Vishnu Dutas. The conclusion of the argument was to be a decision regarding who would claim the soul of Ajamil. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tiramane Namaste Saraswatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyatya De Satarne. In the material world, everyone is competing to become the best. But people don't know what actually the best means. Here in the material world, best means one who's expert at overcoming difficulty. And the more one is able to overcome difficulty, one is considered to be daksha. Of course, in this age, it is said in the 12th canto, that if one can simply maintain himself, a wife, and maybe one or two children, then he's considered daksha, or very expert. But actually, even if one can maintain himself, namely this body, or even one can maintain others' bodies for some time, the actual problems of life are not actually solved. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, Mitira Nikrishne Paratakshatova Mito Vipadyeta Griha Vratanam Adanta Govir Vishitam Tamizram Punak Punas Charvita Charvananam. Mitira means our consciousness. So the question is, where we're going to put our consciousness in order to solve our problem. Our main problem is we're not happy. And why are we not happy? Actually, we're not happy because we're thinking ourselves to be this material body. And as long as we consider ourselves to be this material body, then there is no question of happiness. But people don't know that. They don't know that if they put their consciousness on Krishna, then not only they'll realize that they're not their body, but they'll actually realize who they are, namely the eternal servant of Krishna. But the material world was created for those living entities who have rejected Krishna. Vayam dvitiya nivivesitasyad Ishas Viparyosmiti Bayang Dvitiyani Beshitasya. What's next? Ishas Anyhow. As soon as we turn our consciousness away from Krishna, Bayam Dvitiya Binivesitasya, as soon as we start Abhina, as soon as we have a false identity as something other than Krishna's servants, Ishad Abhatasya Vipario Smriti. Then, instead of taking the role of being servant of Krishna, we take the role of being Krishna's competitor. But the question is, what is the means by which we're competing with Krishna. It's with this body we have. Now, according to Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is the source of everything. He's the source of, he lies down, for instance, just in this material world, and from him, unlimited universes emanate from the pores of his body. Now, we want to compete with Krishna, we can lie down and see if we can emanate one or two universes from our body. The material scientists say, out of envy, that everything began with nothing. So that makes it a little bit more easy to compete with Krishna. Or they say everything began with practically nothing, just a little bit of gas. So that much we can emanate. A little bit of gas. Then it becomes a little bit easier to compete with Krishna. But if we emanate a little bit of gas, even a lot of gas, we'll have to wait a long time and see if it will form into a universe. The material scientists have a very small conception of life. And therefore, when they hear the big conception that universes are emanating from God, their conclusion is, it's unfair. It's undemocratic. Why should he emanate universes and we're emanating just a little bit of gas? So this is called Vipario Smriti. We're thinking, let's make this body as something supreme, as something that people should focus their attention on and give their love to. As I focus my attention on my body, I've made it supreme. So I'm expecting others should also do the same. Unfortunately, the fools, they deride at my descending in this human-like form. They don't know that I had the potential to emanate, according to the material scientists, gas that will eventually produce universes. Therefore, as long as one misidentifies oneself as a candidate for the Supreme, as if there's a big election that's going to be held in the future, at some future time, for the Supreme, and I'm practicing in this material world at the present time to become eligible, to become one of the candidates, to be called the Supreme. There's already one Supreme, and competing against him, Krishna says, Mogaisha Moga Karmano Moga Jnana Vichaita Saha Rakshasim Asrim Chaiva Prakriti Moinim Shritaha. Whatever we're doing to compete against Krishna, whether in the field of Gyan, or in the field of karma, or in the field of yoga, we're simply going to become defeated. Therefore, Bhatirna Krishne Parataksatova Mito Bipadyeta Griha Vratanam. This griha. Griha means house. So the first house everyone lives in is their material body. The material concept is, let me make my body comfortable. Let me make my body healthy. Let me make my body desirable. Let me make my body so many things, and that way I'll become happy. And after making our body as healthy, happy, whatever we want, then the next thing is we expand that conception. Let me have a nice family. Let me have a nice neighborhood. Let me have a nice society. Let everything be nice because I'm nice, because my body is nice. Let everything in relation to the body be nice. So this is called Griha Ratana. I'm going to maintain the bodily concept of life, and that from there I'm going to expand myself or expand my influence in such a way as to make everything desirable and enjoyable. Prabhupada was in Durban one time, giving a conference with some other lecturers, and Prabhupada, during his lecture, he happened to mention that the difference between the body and the soul. So the next speaker said, "Swamiji, why are you introducing this Hindu doctrine of reincarnation? We want to talk about science." So Prabhupada said that this is actually science. It is not Hindu philosophy. It is not that 5,000 years ago Krishna was speaking to Arjuna and said, "My dear Arjuna, fortunately we're on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and fortunately I'm a Hindu god called Krishna, and fortunately you're a Hindu. What could be more fortunate? So now we're going to speak Hindu philosophy. So according to Hindu philosophy, all Hindus have a material body. Unfortunately for the Hindus, their bodies keep on changing. And Hindus have to leave their body. Fortunately for Hindus, after they leave their body, they get another body at the time of death. Others are less fortunate in the sense that their bodies don't change, that they are their bodies. And therefore, at the time of death, they don't get another body. A self-realized Hindu, he understands all this very clearly. So Prabhupada said, no, this is not Hindu philosophy. Every living entity has a body that's changing. Not only the human beings, but even the animals and the plants have bodies that change. And within every body, there is a soul who's conscious, and that soul is conscious of the different changes. The final change called death, the soul will simply get another body. A person is called Dhira when he's not bewildered by these changes and understands that he's actually a spirit soul. Now, in the material world, everyone has become a very good servant of their body. As I've said before, but I'll repeat it again, that in the morning everyone wakes up and they look into the mirror and they ask the mirror, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the greatest of them all?" And the mirror immediately responds, "My dear soul, after many, many lifetimes of pious activities, somehow or another, you've been fortunate enough to have darshan of the supreme deity in the mirror. So now, you must vow to render unalloyed, uninterrupted service to the deity. Become a pure devotee of the deity in the mirror." So yes, after taking such a vow, we perform abhishek to the deity by taking a shower. We prepare nice 6 kinds of foodstuffs offered to the deity. We dress the deity. We decorate the deity. We put incense all around the deity. Perfume, cologne. And then we go out into the world to spread the glories of the deity all over the world. So everyone has a very nice service attitude. Unfortunately, that service attitude has now been misdirected. Everything is very perfect. It's just that we have to change our service attitude from matter to spirit. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, "Adanta go bira vishitam tamizram punat punas charavita charavanana. In the material world, people are hoping today it's going to be different. Today, I've gotten a new fresh body, and therefore eating, sleeping, mating, defending is going to be something ecstatic. But it's punat punas charavita charavanana. Why? Because Natevidu Swartikatim He Vishnu. People don't know that actually it's Krishna who's ecstatic. He's the fire that we're trying to put the iron into, and when the iron is put into the fire, it gets hotter and hotter and hotter. Instead, they're taking something completely insignificant and putting their consciousness there. Andaya tandir upigiyamanas pepi shatandra uru dami bara. Why? Because they've chosen the wrong leader. Everyone is claiming, follow me and your life will be sublime. That's the idea of advertisement. Buy this clothing and when you put it on, you'll be empowered. When you walk down the street, you'll become magnetic. Everyone will look at you like iron flies to a magnet. And therefore, they'll serve you. They'll worship you. They'll become your devotee. They'll offer their obeisances to you. And the result is they'll come to you without fail. So there's the idea of everything in the material world. They're advertising, we're going to empower you with beauty. We're going to empower you with knowledge. We're going to empower you with influence. We're going to empower you in so many different ways, and that way your life is going to be sublime. You'll be able to experience, finally, what it's like to be the Supreme. Unfortunately, in the material world, or fortunately, during this so-called empowerment, we're finding so many obstacles. So many things are not going the way they promise it. They promise that by their medical treatments, advancements in medicine, that everyone's going to live forever practically. When I was 5 years old, I bought one little book, and in the book it explained what would happen in the next 20 years. And in the next 20 years they promised that the scientists were going to invent a pill, and anyone who took the pill would be able to live forever. Unfortunately, the scientists who were trying to invent the pill, they died. Therefore, although they're promising empowerment, but there's so many problems. And when the problems come up, they wind up trying to solve the problem. And then when they solve that problem, Prahlad Maharaj says that by solving that problem, they've created 5 more problems to solve. So that's very good. It keeps everyone employed. What did Queen Kunti say, though? Vipadak shantutak shasvat tatra tatra jagat duro bhavato darshanam nyasyat apuna bhavadarshanam. I want problems. In Kali Yuga, we were very fortunate because Queen Kunti was in Dwarpa Yuga. She had to pray for problems. But we're in Kali Yuga. There's no need to pray for problems. They're just coming one after another. But the advantage of a problem is that if we take shelter of Krishna to solve the problem, then we'll remember Krishna, and by remembering Krishna, there'll be no more repeated birth and death. On the other hand, she also prays Janmaishvarya Shuta Shri Bir Edamanat Madatpuman Naivahat Yavudatum Vai Twam Akinchana Gochara. Simply, we've been miseducated that somehow or another, in the effort to get material opulence by getting material opulence, and to get material opulence, we have to compete against so many other people. If we can get janma, which nowadays means influence, more or less, if we can get the highest position possible, if we can get the most wealth, if we can get the most beauty, if we can get the most janma, aishvarya, shruta, material knowledge, ability to manipulate the material nature, then our problems will be solved and we'll become happy, liberated from all anxiety. But Queen Kunti says that this is not true. That because of our identification with this material body, we're intoxicated already. We're walking around in this prison and we're thinking it's wonderful. Look at my prison. Isn't it wonderful? Look what my prison can do. And we think, well, look at that other prison. They have more wealth. They have more knowledge. They have more physical beauty and influence. Let me follow them. And in that way, I can also get more beauty. I can also get more knowledge. I can also get more wealth. And that way, my problems will be solved. But Prabhupada said, and Queen Kunti says, we're intoxicated. We're bewildered by this material identification. And when we strive to get more and more material opulence, then we become a duck. We become mad, crazy. Instead of solving our problem, getting out of the material conception of life, we become simply crazy, and the result is no one knows what our result is. They don't know. They don't know that the aim is to go to Krishna. Instead, most people are becoming into the lower species of life. I mean, there are just a few of us human beings here right now, but how many cockroaches are crawling around underneath this building? They're also connected with the temple. They don't chant rounds. They don't follow, they may follow some principles. There are so many living entities, billions and trillions of living entities. They had the human form of life at one time, and they thought they were going to achieve something glorious, and now they're in the lower species of life. So how to get out of this? We want to put our consciousness on Krishna. That's called Krishna consciousness. If we want to find out what it's like to actually become Krishna conscious, the description is there, for instance, in the Madhurya Kandambini, what it's like to actually have saksha darshan of Krishna. When Krishna is in his full beauty, is displayed to the devotee, and the devotee is so overwhelmed with ecstasy, he says, maybe I've caught a glimpse of you when I was in Bhava, but that glimpse was just like catching a glimpse of a little mushroom compared to the Mount Everest. somehow or another is comparing you to in different ways, but my comparison was just like comparing you like a crow compared to Garuda. I had no words to actually describe how wonderful you actually are. Krishna consciousness is not something ordinary. It is unlimitedly extraordinary. We want to become aware of our relation with Krishna. And to do that, we have to touch the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee. Just like Maharaj Vidura, when he returned, Maharaj Yudhisthira immediately proclaimed, Bhavan Vidas Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhutak Swayam Vibho Tirtha Kurvanti Tirthani Swantak Stena Gathabritaha. That the saints like yourself, they are verily holy places of pilgrimage. Because wherever they go, they actually turn that place into a place of pilgrimage. Such a personality was Srila Prabhupada. We hear from those who had association with Srila Prabhupada how by his mere presence the atmosphere became surcharged with Krishna consciousness. So what was the root of Srila Prabhupada's consciousness? What do we have to do in order to come to that platform? So Srila Prabhupada made it very simple. We have to become a servant of Krishna's servants. By becoming the servant of Krishna's servants, then the result is we actually come in contact with Krishna. Because within the heart of Krishna's servant is Krishna. Not just theoretically, but fully manifested within the heart of the pure devotee. Wherever Krishna is, there's also Vrindavan. Not only within Prabhupada's heart, was also his spiritual master. His spiritual master, fully engaged in service to his spiritual master, fully engaged in his service to his spiritual master, fully engaged in the service of the six Goswamis, fully engaged in service of the Panchatattva, and all of them fully engaged in service to Radha and Krishna and the devotees in Vrindavan. An unlimited, intensely spiritual consciousness of sublime, loving service to the devotees in the spiritual world. Even coming in contact a little bit will surcharge us with some spiritual happiness. Just a little contact with such a service attitude, a pure devotion to Krishna and his devotees. So Prabhupada was expert at that service. And therefore, if we meditate on service to Srila Prabhupada, not only it is very simple, we are very fortunate that there are so many activities that Prabhupada has given us. We're coming to the temple, we're seeing the deities, we have contact with so many devotees during the day, we're taking prasadam, we're chanting Hare Krishna. But we also have to add on that, we have to remember, we have to feel as if Srila Prabhupada was right with us. And how would we do that activity? How would we speak? How would we think? How would we perform that activity if Srila Prabhupada is right with us and we were doing it just to please him? Trying to remember his instructions, trying to remember his example. And if we do that, that's called developing a service attitude. Srila Prabhupada said on numerous occasions that his spiritual master was always with him. When Srila Prabhupada came to Mayapur one time, he did not stop at the temple of his spiritual master. Instead, he went directly to our temple in Sridhar Mayapur. And his godbrothers criticized him. Oh, he has no respect for Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, that he did not stop and honor the temple that he had founded. And Prabhupada made the comment, he said, my spiritual master is always with me. Where is there any question of stopping by to see him at his temple? He's with me 24 hours a day. So that's what we want. We want to have Prabhupada's presence. And how to get Prabhupada's presence? By following Prabhupada's instructions. And that's the first instruction. To think of the spiritual master. So our spiritual masters, we may not be directly initiated by Srila Prabhupada, but our spiritual masters are also giving us the gift of Srila Prabhupada's association. Their instructions are also Srila Prabhupada's instructions. They're also instructing us how to associate with Srila Prabhupada. And by getting their association, we're also getting Srila Prabhupada's association. That's called the civil succession. But that service attitude has to be developed. If we have faith that our spiritual master is actually the direct representative of Krishna, then we have to maintain association with him, or maybe in possibility in the future with her, depending on how Krishna arranges things. We have to maintain association and think that my spiritual master is with me 24 hours a day, and whatever I think, whatever I do, whatever I say should be done to please them, following the instructions that they're giving me through this succession. And what will be the result? The result is that I become equally a servant of everyone. Not that I remain simply a servant of my spiritual master, but my spiritual master is one who teaches me how to perfectly serve every devotee 24 hours a day, perfectly, or to the best of my perfection, as far as I can perfectly do that. How to serve Krishna perfectly, Ishvara. How to perfectly serve every devotee I meet. How to perfectly serve every person I meet to the best of my ability. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the instruction, Yari Deka Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amara Agar Gurahana Tare Desh. That whoever you meet, you instruct them about Krishna. In this way you become guru. So it is not that we have to wait to become Diksha guru and then our life will change, we become guru. Everyone must become guru in the real sense of the term. This is actually what Prabhupada wants. We make progress and become more and more guru. That whoever we meet, not only when we go out and distribute books on the street, now I've become the savior of the universe or some part of the universe. No, when I'm in my family, I should not consider myself, first of all, the husband. Of course we have to consider ourselves the husband, otherwise things will go rather strange in our family life. Sukadeva Goswami, he was born rather, I guess, a late delivery. He had to wait 16 years before he was born. And he left. He was passing by, and there was one place where the ladies take bath, and they were bathing. They were all naked. The ladies did not cover their bodies because they saw, they were trained, that this man is innocent. He does not discriminate between ladies and men. Therefore, there is no need to cover our bodies. On the other hand, his father, running after him, passed by the same spot, and the ladies covered their bodies. So Srila Vyasadeva was rather curious. I'm on the same level as my son. He's a self-realized soul, and I'm also a self-realized soul. At least to the extent that we know that everyone is a spiritual being, and that's how we view people. But you covered your bodies when I passed, but you did not cover your bodies when Shukadeva Goswami passed. So the lady said, well, he's a brahmachari, and therefore there's no need for him to discriminate between women and men. But you're a householder. You have to have some discrimination, or else the system wouldn't work very well. So similarly, a husband, he has to take responsibility as a husband. But at the same time, he should not, within himself, think himself to be the husband. He should think himself to be the servant of the wife, because the wife is Krishna's servant. And therefore, from the instructions given by Krishna through the disciple succession, he must remain a servant of his spiritual master, and that way serve his wife as Krishna's servant. Similarly, the wife has to think the same way. I'm the wife, I have the duties of a wife, but actually my main duty is as a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, and therefore I must serve my husband as Krishna's eternal servant. Similarly, the children must be served as not only as children, but also as Krishna's eternal servant. Therefore, when we meet our family, we should not forget Krishna. We should not forget that we're servants of our spiritual master. We're servants of the disciple succession. That consciousness has to be remained. And that way, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he entered into his house, it was Goloka Vrindavan. It was not some mundane house. When he took Charanamrita, it was the river Ganges. It was not some sweet yogurt. And when we meet people, whoever it may be, whether it's in our family, outside our family, we should not forget what kind of body we have, but we should also remember, what does my spiritual master and Krishna want me to do in order to serve this person, help them become Krishna conscious? Help them advance in devotional service. That is our advancement also. That way we can actually push forward the Krishna consciousness movement to the best of our ability. It is not only a question of how many books we distributed, or how many temples we open, or how many devotees we make. It's also a question of how deep our consciousness becomes, how much consistently and enthusiastically we remain the servant of our spiritual master under all circumstances. How much we're aware of how to please our spiritual master by remaining his servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Then we become gradually, as it says here, siddha satama. There's no other way of becoming better in the material world. We may compete against others in this material universe, but ultimately it'll be a failure. But if we compete with each other to become a better servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, as understood through the instructions given by our spiritual master, then our lives will become better and better and better. And interestingly enough, one never considers himself to be the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan in 1972, he mentions that the spiritual master never considers himself to be the spiritual master, because he knows that whatever knowledge any living entity has comes from Krishna. But fortunately, because he has association with his spiritual master, who's in the disciple succession, therefore, because he's heard from his spiritual master and from others who have heard from the spiritual masters in the disciple succession, therefore, by the mercy of his spirit of Krishna and by the mercy of his spiritual master, he's remembering those instructions. And therefore, when he gives those instructions to his followers or his disciples, he knows they're not his instructions. They're the instructions of his spiritual master coming into simple succession. And when his followers and disciples follow those instructions, then he learns from them how to become a better servant of his spiritual master. And that way he takes his disciples as a kind of teacher for himself to learn how to serve his spiritual master and those orders coming down in the civil succession better and better and better. And there is no end to it. There's no end to love. There's no end to loving Krishna. There's no end to loving his devotees. And if we become the servant of the best of Krishna's devotees, then we'll become the best servant, the best friend of all living entities, and the best friend of ourselves also. So, thank you very much. Are there any comments? Questions? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada talks about perfection and being either Nitya Siddha or Sadhana Siddha or Kripa Siddha to attain that perfection. So it seems that what you're saying that, especially in the Kali Yuga, that we should focus on becoming Kripa Siddha, in other words, getting mercy from the spiritual master by following his instructions to the best of our ability. And in that way, with that mercy from Krishna and Vaishnava, our spiritual master, that this is how we can become such a devotee. Maybe you could just a little focus on that.
Oh yes, there's Sadhana Siddha, there's Kripa Siddha, there's Nitya Siddha. It's actually a combination of Sadhana Siddha, Sadhana and Kripa. If we follow the instructions, then we'll be acting as a servant. Instructions mean not just physically doing what they tell us to do, but there's a higher realm of maturity in devotional service where one utilizes transcendental discrimination and expertise in order to serve the spiritual master. Transcendental expert, just like in the life of Srila Prabhupada is a perfect example. We saw how he would be so, and everyone he met, he would be so expert, and how he attracted them to become Krishna conscious. Prabhupada was not a stereotype spiritual master in so many different ways. One time Prabhupada was sitting there in a room, silently. Some ladies from a particular spiritual society wanted to come and see Srila Prabhupada because they heard he was a very mystical person. So they came into the room and Prabhupada sat there silently, didn't say a word for 15 minutes. They sat silently with him and then they left ecstatic that he's a real guru. He was perfectly silent. So that type of expertise, how to come in contact with the super soul, is developed by the process of sincerely trying to fulfill the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his representatives to help others become Krishna conscious. To not only try to direct people the way we think that they should become Krishna conscious, become more and more transcendentally sensitive, more and more in touch with Krishna, what Krishna would like us to do, how Krishna would like us to act as an instrument to inspire others to become Krishna's servants. So that transcendental expertise and transcendental discrimination takes time to develop by strictly following the rules and regulations given to us by the previous acharyas and the present acharya. So by doing that, when Krishna sees, it's not only our sadhana, but Prabhupada also gave us a sadhana, as he said in one lecture, of going out somehow or another, trying to help people become Krishna conscious, whoever we meet. So that is our sadhana during the day also. If we do that sadhana, as Prabhupada wrote to me one time, that the more you become serious about helping bring back Krishna's other children back to the spiritual kingdom, then the more he'll bestow all his blessings upon you. That Krishna is never ungrateful to our efforts to serve him, rest assured. So that sadhana of helping bring Krishna's other children back to the spiritual kingdom, Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing. And as far as Kripa goes, we don't have to worry about that, because Krishna is never ungrateful for our efforts to serve him, rest assured. Thank you. Anything else? Yes.
Maharaj, you are telling about following the instruction of the spiritual master, and also Maharaj, we have to follow the instruction of the immediate authority. So can we think that the orders coming from the immediate authority also coming from Krishna?
I hope so. We should know what Krishna wants. Therefore, we should read Prabhupada's books to find out what Krishna wants. But generally speaking, I don't think there is much of a difficulty with that. Most of our temple authorities, they also are working in the direction of some authority, and ultimately when we trace it back, you know, it's coming from Prabhupada and from Krishna. There may be instances that we can point out where they may be questionable, but that's why Prabhupada created a society, so we can question when necessary and see whether or not it's actually Krishna's desire. But generally speaking, you know, when it's time for prasadam, we don't have to, and our temple authority tells us to go take prasadam. We don't sit there for half an hour trying to figure out whether it's actually authorized to take prasadam or not. Most of the time, things are quite simple. But if there is some question, then we have authorities we can go to, and we can try to ascertain through the higher authorities, whether and ultimately Srila Prabhupada's books, whether this is proper or not. But most of the time, it's not much of a question. Anything else? Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.